Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
The United States and the Philippines are concerned about China's efforts to reclaim and develop territory in the South China Sea. But China is pushing ahead. It says its activities are lawful and do not affect or target any country. We will bring you that story today. Hello, I'm Christopher Jones Cruz at the Voice of America in Washington. And this is As It Is, a daily 30-minute program designed to help you learn everyday American English. In addition to learning about China's strategy in the South China Sea today, you will also hear Jonathan Evans' weekly technology report. This week, Jonathan tells us how a robot named Luna is helping with physical therapy.
Luna can also make therapy fun for children who often get bored with repeated movements. Luna permits them to play games without knowing that they are exercising their muscles.
And later, we bring you our regular weekday series, The Making of a Nation. Today, we will look at the 1928 presidential election. Herbert Hoover won that election, but within months, he was being blamed for the worst financial crisis in American history.
The stock market crash ruined thousands of Americans. In a few short weeks, traders lost $30 billion, an amount almost as great as all the money the United States had spent in World War I.
Finally, in our American Moments series, we take you back to April 27th, 1947, the day sports fans across the United States and Japan observed Babe Ruth Day to honor the retired and dying baseball legend.
There's been so many lovely things said about me, and I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to thank everybody.
Every day here at VOA Learning English, we bring you news from and about America and the world. And we tell you the often surprising and always interesting history of the United States. We want to help you learn everyday American English. So we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the Voice of America. The United States and the Philippines have expressed concern about China's efforts to reclaim and develop territory in the South China Sea. But the Chinese government is pushing forward. The government says its activities are lawful and do not affect or target any country. The U.S. Office of Naval Intelligence recently released a report about issues facing China and its neighbors at a time of a Chinese naval buildup. China is increasing its number of naval warships and submarines that carry missiles. the report notes that China is carrying out a major land reclamation effort around islands it controls in the South China Sea. The report describes Chinese efforts to develop an area near seven coral reefs in the Spratly Island. As a result of this activity, the amount of land has expanded from about 2 hectares to more than 300 hectares. There is now enough new land for at least one runway for airplanes. The report says another airstrip could be ready by the end of this year. Admiral Harry Harris heads the U.S. Pacific Command. He recently warned that China is building what he called a Great Wall of Sand near the disputed islands. He also said how China acts in the future will decide whether the South China Sea will be a place of confrontation or cooperation. China says its goals are peaceful, but it does not deny the military or strategic value of its activities. It says the development of the islands could lead to more detailed weather reports and improved safety for shipping in the South China Sea. It also says the islands could provide shelter for ships during severe storms. Li Jingming is with the Center for Southeast Asian Studies at Xiamen University. He defends China's activities. He says China has not set up structures in the South China Sea as fast as other countries. Professor Li says China is the only country that has an island in the area without an airstrip. He says no one criticized the Philippines and Malaysia when they built their runways. But now that China is building one, he says, neighboring countries are protesting. In addition to the Philippines and Malaysia, Vietnam and Taiwan also have airstrips on their islands in the South China Sea. Experts say Mr. Li is correct in noting that China has started the construction work later than other countries. But they say China's building program is much larger than that of other countries. This week, Philippines officials estimated China's construction activities have hurt fragile underwater reefs. They said countries around the South China Sea have suffered yearly losses of $100 million because of the damage. China's neighbors and the United States are worried about more than just the Chinese construction. They criticize the way Chinese shipping has been used to strengthen the country's claims to parts of the South China Sea. Last year, China placed a large oil rig near the coast of Vietnam. It used water cannons to keep Vietnamese ships from getting close to the equipment. The move led to deadly anti-Chinese riots in Vietnam. Relations between the countries fell to their lowest level in many years. The area where China set up the oil rig was inside Vietnam's 200 nautical mile economic zone. The zone was established under international law. Some observers have asked whether Chinese officials are willing to obey the rules or are trying to create their own. China claims ownership of almost all of the South China Sea. It adds a line on maps to help publicize that position. The line follows close to the coasts of Vietnam and the Philippines and reaches south to Brunei and Malaysia. the line does not follow territorial borders set by international law. China has not yet said if the line means it believes it controls all of the waters or just the islands and reefs in the area. Ye Cheng is an assistant research fellow at the National Institute for South China Sea Studies. He says he believes the line shows China believes it has control over islands and reefs and nearby waters. He says the history of territorial disputes shows countries first demand more control, then negotiate. He says it is important to watch how China deals with the disputes. Now, it's time for our weekly look at the latest technology news. This week, we learn how a robot is helping physical therapists. Recovering strength and movement after an injury often involves physical therapy. Physical therapists help patients with brain or bone injuries regain control of their muscles. Exercising muscles is an important part of the rehabilitation process. Therapists use balls and boards to improve balance, stretchy bands to increase strength, and other exercises. A Polish technology company, Exotech, has developed a robot it calls Luna to make those exercises interactive. Luna can help therapists choose the best exercises for their patients. As our technology correspondent Jonathan Evans tells us now, the robot also gives therapists information about their patients' progress.
Luna uses electromyography, or EMG, to identify electrical currents as patients bend their arms or legs. Michel Mikulski is the chief executive officer of Exotech. He says detecting muscle tension not immediately visible to the human eye can help therapists design better exercises.
We reach a certain stage of disease development when muscle tension is not even visible, but these signals can still be seen on our machines. Luna is still able to detect them. And based on that, when the brain sends a signal to the muscle to flex, even though we don't see it, Luna is still able to detect it. It detects these signals and causes the movement of the limb as if it were performed naturally.
Luna can also make therapy fun for children who often get bored with repeated movements. Luna permits them to play games without knowing that they are exercising their muscles.
Sometimes it is a spacecraft, sometimes shooting balls, sometimes flying a dragon. In any case, a child wants to win a game, wants to compete, but in fact they are exercising.
Luna is just a prototype, but Exotech expects to have other robots ready for sale later this year. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Thanks, Jonathan. Now, it's time for our daily The Making of a Nation program. The election of Herbert Hoover in 1928 made Americans more hopeful than ever about their future. Mr. Hoover seemed to have just the right experience to lead the nation to more economic progress. He was an engineer and a businessman who had served as Secretary of Commerce. He understood economics and had faith in private business. On a rainy day in March 1929, Mr. Hoover rode down Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington to become the new president. "I have no fears for the future of our country," he told the cheering crowd. "It is bright with hope." This week, Faith Lapidus and Bob Doty tell us more about the Republican administration of Herbert Hoover.
The clearest evidence of the public's faith in the economy is the stock market. And the New York Stock Exchange reacted to the new president with a wild increase in prices. During the months after Hoover's election, prices generally rose like a rocket. Stocks valued at $100 climbed to $200, then $300, $400. Men and women made huge amounts of money overnight. Publications and economic experts advised Americans to buy stocks before prices went even higher. Time and again, people heard how rich they could become if they found and bought stocks for companies growing into industrial giants. "Never sell the United States short," said one publication. Another just said, "Everybody ought to be rich."
A number of economic experts worried about the sharp increase in stock prices that followed Hoover's election. The president himself urged stock market officials to make trading more honest and safe. And he approved a move by the Federal Reserve Board to increase the interest charged to banks. However, both efforts failed to stop the growing number of Americans who were spending their money wildly on stocks. Some experts pointed to danger signs in the economy during the summer of 1929. The number of houses being built was dropping. Industries were reducing the amount of products that they held in their factories. The rate of growth in spending by average Americans was falling sharply. And industrial production, employment, and prices were down. These experts warned that the American economy was just not strong enough to support such rapid growth in stock prices. They said there was no real value behind many of the high prices. They said a stock price could not increase four times while a company's sales stayed the same. They said the high prices were built on foolish dreams of wealth, not real value.
But the prices went still higher. Buyers fought with each other to pay more and more for company stocks. The average price of all stocks almost doubled in just 1 year. It seemed everybody was buying stocks, even people with little money or economic training. A clothing salesman got advice from a stock trader visiting his store and made $200,000. A nurse learned of a good company from someone in the hospital. She made $30,000. There were thousands of such stories. By early September, the stock market reached its high point of the past 18 months. Shares of the Westinghouse Company had climbed from $91 to $313. The Anaconda Copper Company had risen from $54 to $162. Union Carbide jumped from $145 to $413. Life was like a dream, but like any dream, it could not last forever.
In September 1929, stock prices stopped rising. During the next month and a half, stock prices fell, but only slowly. Then, suddenly, at the end of October, the market crashed. Prices dropped wildly. Leading stocks fell $5, $10, $20 in a single day. Everyone tried to sell their stocks, but no one was buying. Fear washed across the stock market. People were losing money even faster than they had made it.
The stock market collapsed on Thursday, October 24th, 1929. People remember the day as Black Thursday, the day the dreams ended. The day began with a wave of selling. People from across the country sent messages to their stock traders in New York. All the messages said the same thing. Sell! Sell the stocks at any price possible! But no one was buying, and so down the prices came. The value of stock for the Montgomery Ward store dropped from $83 to $50 in a single day. The RCA Radio Corporation fell from $68 to $44, down $24 in just a few hours. Down the stocks fell, lower and lower. Several of the country's leading bankers met to discuss ways to stop the disaster. They agreed to buy stocks in large amounts to stop the wave of selling. The bankers moved quickly, and for 2 days, prices held steady. But then, like snow falling down the side of a mountain, the stocks dropped again. Prices went to amazingly low levels. One business newspaper said simply, "The present week has witnessed the greatest stock market disaster of all time."
The stock market crash ruined thousands of Americans. In a few short weeks, traders lost $30 billion, an amount almost as great as all the money the United States had spent in World War I. Some businessmen could not accept what had happened. They jumped from the tops of buildings and killed themselves. In fact, one popular joke of the time said that hotel owners had to ask people if they wanted rooms for sleeping or jumping. But the stock market crash was nothing to laugh about. It destroyed much of the money that Americans had saved. Even worse, it caused millions of people to worry and lose faith in the economy. They were not sure what to expect tomorrow. Business owners would not spend money for new factories or business operations. Instead, they decided to wait and see what would happen. This reduced production and caused more workers to lose their jobs. Fewer workers meant fewer people with money to buy goods. And fewer people buying goods meant less need for factories to produce. So it went. In short, economic disaster.
Why did the stock market crash? One reason, people had been paying too much for stocks. Everyone believed that prices would go higher and higher forever. People paid more for stocks than the stocks were worth. They hoped to sell the stocks at even higher prices. It was like a children's balloon that expands with air, blowing bigger and bigger until it bursts. But there were other important reasons. Industrial profits were too high and wages too low. 5% of the population owned 1/3 of all personal income. The average worker simply did not have enough money to buy enough of all the new goods that factories were producing. Another problem was that companies were not investing enough money in new factories and supplies. There were also problems with the rules of the stock market itself. People were allowed to buy stocks when they did not have the money to do so.
Several government economic policies also helped to cause the stock market crash of 1929. Government tax policies made the rich richer and the poor poorer. And the government did little to control the national money supply, even when the economy faced disaster. The stock market crash marked the beginning of the Great Depression, a long, slow, painful fall to the worst economic crisis in American history. The Great Depression would bring suffering to millions of people. It would cause major political changes, and it would be a major force in creating the conditions that led to World War II. We will look at the beginning of the Great Depression tomorrow here on As It Is. Finally, it was on this day, April 27, 1947, that the world said goodbye to a living legend. Sports fans across the United States and Japan observed Babe Ruth Day. They were honoring George Herman Ruth, known as Babe Ruth. He was sick and no longer able to play baseball. The largest observance of Babe Ruth Day was at Yankee Stadium in New York City. That stadium was where the Babe had the most success in his baseball career. The Babe himself was there. More than 58,000 fans cheered as he walked onto the field. Then they were silent as he spoke. His once clear, even booming voice was now hard to understand. He was full of emotion.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You know how bad my voice sounds. Well, it feels just as bad. There's been so many lovely things said about me, and I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to thank everybody. Thank you.
Babe Ruth's large chest and shoulders had once given him the strength to hit a baseball record-breaking distances. But now he was tired and weak from illness. Although the Babe did not know it the day he was honored, he had cancer. He died a little more than a year later, in 1948. He was believed to be 53 or 54 years old. Well, that's our program for today. We hope it has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English and some of the history of the United States. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz, reporting from VOA Learning English headquarters in Washington. For all of the women and men of the Voice of America all around the world, and for all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending some time with us today. We'll be back tomorrow at this same time with another broadcast, webcast, and podcast edition of As It Is from the Voice of America.